What is up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast that is brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com that is dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. Buzzer Beaters can be found on GremlingsMedia.com as well as Rumble, YouTube, traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, Apple, Pandora, Facebook, X, pretty much any outlet you can find your podcasts.
Napster? So, can we find them on Napster?
You know, I don't know. Maybe. Napster's dead, man. What
are you talking about? Morpheus? LimeWire? Anyway, for those of you that are old like us, you know what I'm talking about. For those youngins, they're like, what? What is he talking about? Go ahead. Finish your spiel.
And by the way, we are here live because we want to hear from you, right? We are live because we want to get your comments, your questions. Some of you have done that pretty religiously, which is great, and we really appreciate that. But we want to go ahead and have you guys just post more comments and questions. That's the reason why we're here live. So what we're doing this week is we're going to go ahead and continue our coverage of the team previews that we have before the season starts next week. The season starts next Tuesday, the 22nd, and we've covered all other 24 teams up to this point, and we're going to cover six more teams today to complete the team preview segment. And then after that, we're going to go ahead and do a little contest between Tuan and I, where we're going to go ahead and pick the seeding of each team, each of the teams in each conference. And then we have a scoring system. We'd like you guys to go ahead and participate too. So, you know, go ahead and post, if your platform allows it, to go ahead and post your seedings and see if you can beat us by the end of the season, right? I was trying to talk to our producers about making some kind of contest. I don't know. Maybe we'll work that out in the time. You know, we got 6-7 months to this point to figure that out. But we want to go ahead and make this fun. So we're going to go ahead and give you our seedings and what we project to be the final standings for each conference at the end of the show. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. So what we did last week is we covered the Nuggets, Grizzlies, Suns, and Thunder. And as on the east side, we had covered the Raptors, Sixers, Heat, and Magic. This week, we're going to complete the West with the Mavericks, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. And then in the east, we're going to go to the Nets, the Celtics, and the Wizards. All right, Tuan, so we're going to go ahead and start off with you, man. You got the Dallas Mavericks, man.
Let's do it. The Dallas Mavericks. So as you all can see on the banner there, the Mavericks, who, by the way, were the Western Conference champions last year. They represented the West in the NBA Finals. They were right smack dab in the middle regarding net rating, which is ironic. Some of the trends we've been seeing, I mean, some of the teams were really high up there, you know, teams like the Celtics, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, they were really high on the net rating while Dallas was more middle of the road. They were a little bit of a better offensive team than they were a defensive team, ranking 10th on offense with 118 points. And then on defense, they ranked 17th with right around 116 points. They were, like I said, middle of the pack. In terms of last year's finish, they finished the fifth seed with a record of 50-32. As I mentioned before, they did lose in the NBA Finals to the Celtics 4-1, which prompted one of the moves they did in this offseason, one that we, you know, that's near and dear to Eddie and I's heart, was the pickup of Klay Thompson, which, by the way, I watched a couple of preseason games, and he's not looking too hot right now. It's a little bit of a rough start for him, so we'll see what that means. They did pick him up. They did also pick up quite a bit of free agents in terms of kind of lower-level guys, A.J. Lawson, Jazian Gortman, Kessler Edwards, they picked him up on a two-way contract. Jazian, they picked up on a training camp contract. They did pick up Spencer Dinwiddie, which, by the way, was with the Mavericks, I believe, yep. Up until the trade deadline last season.
Right.
And then now he's back. He is a good fit. For those that watched some of our off-season shows, that was a player that Eddie and I had, you know, thought was a pretty good player for a couple of different teams, Warriors included. But looks like he went back to the Dallas Mavericks.
And he came from the Lakers, right? He played for the Lakers last year. That was the most recent team.
Was it? I thought he was in Brooklyn, but I could be wrong.
He did. And then he went to the Lakers. He was getting courted by Pelinka And then they signed him to a contract. So he,
by Rob Lowe?
All right. Lakers. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And let's see. They did also pick Jamarian Sharp on a two-way contract. Emmanuel Miller on a training camp contract. Okay. Brandon Williams on a – they re-signed him on a two-way contract. And then they did a couple of trades. They traded Tim Hardaway Jr. for Quentin Grimes. So that was a trade they did during the offseason. And then they picked up Najee Marshall as a free agent. And then
from the Pelicans.
What's that?
He came from the Pelicans.
Yeah, Najee. He came from the Pelicans.
Yep.
Yep. And then they picked up Melvin Ejinka. They traded for him. And then with their draft pick, they picked up a center with the 58th pick in the draft out of Germany, a guy by the name of Ariel Hukporti. And so that's kind of their offseason transactions, moves, whatnot.
Cool.
Let's see. Moving down to their projected starting five. At the point guard position, obviously Luka Doncic is going to be their starting point guard with possibly Spencer Dinwiddie at the backup is what I have here.
I think that's about right.
Kyrie Irving as the shooting guard with Jaden Hardy as his backup. Klay Thompson as the starting small forward with Najee Marshall. But now I want to note, Najee Marshall has looked really good in the preseason. There's been a lot of talk about his game improving during the offseason. So that's going to be interesting to watch because preseason's preseason and we shouldn't take too much out of it. But if the players look like the way they look, I think that may swap where Najee's the starter and Klay's the backup. I don't know.
Oh, wow. So you think – I don't know, man. It's going to take a while for that to happen, in my opinion, just because, you know, he's a big-time – it was a big-time splash to get Klay Thompson on the Mavericks. And I think that's a great fit for him just because of the personnel that is currently on that team with guys that can just drive and kick to him all day and all night. So – you know, but your point is well taken. If he's not playing well, they're going to have to make a change. But I think it's going to take them a long time to get to that point. Yeah. So I think Klay Thompson is given all the liberties to be the starter for as long as he can stay, you know, as the guy who can show that he deserves to play.
Yeah. Have you watched any of the preseason games then, by the way?
I have not watched Klay play at all.
Okay. All right. Yeah. If you get a minute, you know, just look at the low lights or the highlights. He's a step slow. He's been getting wide open threes, hitting front iron on most of them, you know, means maybe it's just him kind of still getting his legs under him. Yep. So I think Klay Thompson will have a good amount of opportunity to play to start. But Najee Marshall is looking good. That's all I'm going to say. And, you know,
fair point. Yeah.
Depending on how this goes, you know, maybe Klay starts and Najee finishes. I don't know. But just keep an eye on that.
All right.
As power forward, we got PJ Washington as the starting power forward with Max Kleber as his backup. And then his center, Daniel Gafford, with Derek Lively II as his backup. Although Derek Lively did have, in my opinion, a fantastic postseason. I thought he played really well. But I still think, you know, Gafford's going to be the starter there and Lively will be his backup, at least for now.
It's purely for experience reasons. That's the primary reason he'll start. But I think in time, you know, Lively's going to be taken over at some point. And it might happen at the end of the season, if not middle of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And then for my standings, and obviously we'll go over this at the end of the show as well, I have Dallas notched in as the third seed, somewhere around 52 wins, somewhere in that range. But I do have them as a solid third seed for this coming season.
Yeah, this team, you know, when we get to the end of the show, when we kind of go through our seedings, I was teetering between them and the Suns, man. I was like, okay, who do I put there, right? Who's ahead of who? But, you know, these guys are definitely stacked, especially at the point guard and shooting guard position. It remains to be seen, as you pointed out, if Klay Thompson can go ahead and be a good addition to this team. But we already know PJ Washington was a great fit. Daniel Gafford is a great fit. You know, they have Derek Lively, who's got another year under his belt. This team is very, very dangerous. And it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if they represent the Western Conference again, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But I don't think I don't have them as my choice. We're not going to predict that today. But, you know, they're definitely a team on the rise and they're going to be, you know, near the top. Luka's definitely top three player in the NBA right now, easily, you know, arguably could be number one or two. Right. But he's definitely top three. So I see this team being an issue. And Jason Kidd's a hell of a coach and he's got these guys playing hard.
You know, and this team has a little bit of a, even though they haven't won a championship, they've got a little bit of a veteran presence. You know, like, you know, some of those veteran teams that have won championships, they kind of just go through the motions during this regular season, and then when the postseason comes on, they kick it up a notch.
Yep.
These guys have that makeup, you know, where I don't really think, as long as they don't fall below sixth, you know, I think they're a threat no matter what. Because they just have, you know, Kyrie Irving's experience, Klay's experience, you know, Luka Doncic is showing, you know, that he can turn it on when he needs to. So they've got a little bit of that savvy to them, which, you know, I think is going to matter in the postseason. So, yeah, this is a team to watch for, I think, definitely in the playoffs.
For sure, man. For sure. I agree. Yep. I agree. All right, man. You got anything else on the Mavericks?
No. That was it. That was it for the Mavs.
All right, man. So now it comes to me. We're actually going to go 1-2 and then 2-1. That's how we're going to go. So it goes Twan for 1, 2 to me, and then 2 to Twan and 1 to me. All right. So the next team on the docket is the New Orleans Pelicans. All right. Last year, the Pelicans finished 49-33. They finished as the 8th seed. They actually lost in the play-in to the Lakers and then beat the Sacramento Kings to get the 8th spot. So, but then they went ahead and proceeded to lose to the OKC Thunder in 4 games, and they got swept. You can see on the screen their offensive rating and their defensive rating. You know, it surprises me when I saw this that they're a more defensive-minded team than offensive-minded team. I thought it was the other way around. So it's good that we kind of have these ratings, because your perception is that this team is a very offensive-minded team when it's kind of the opposite. They're more defensive-minded. So they actually are top 10 in net rating, at number 6. So this team is definitely on the rise. And this team goes as Zion Williamson goes. Really?
Yes,
right?
They do.
As long as Zion Williamson is healthy and playing more than freaking 50 games, then they're a problem, right? But all right, so as far as their transactions that they did in the offseason, so they drafted at number 21 Yves Missi out of Baylor. He fills in a good center a vacancy that was left behind by Jonas Valanciunas, who actually got traded to the Wizards. And then they also traded for a second-round pick with the Magic to obtain Antonio Reeves out of Kentucky. But the biggest offseason splash, in my opinion, was Dejounte Murray. They got Dejounte Murray from the Hawks, and they traded a power forward Larry Nance, point guard Dyson Daniels, and a few picks and so forth. But, you know, in my opinion, I thought that Dejounte Murray should have been the guy to stay in Atlanta. And then, you know, Trae Young would be the guy that would be on the move. But, you know, I guess it was harder for them to move Trae Young. I think that's probably why they did this. I don't think that the Hawks necessarily believed that Trae Young was the better player. I just feel that they probably had a harder time moving him, in my opinion. So Dejounte Murray is definitely a more well-rounded player than Trae Young. Trae Young's a very good offensive player. We talked about he's probably one of the main disciples of Steph Curry, if you will, or one of that. I don't want to say disciple, but he definitely is one of the guys who's trying to mimic his game. But we already know that Steph Curry is at a whole nother level, right? So, but anyway, so other offseason transactions that they've done, they actually signed forward Javonte Green to a 1-year contract. They also signed Daniel Tice, another pretty good center, definitely a bench center that's worth having on any team because he does all the dirty work, right? He's actually a pretty good player. But as far as a lot of the players that they lost a lot of players, man. We already talked about Najee Marshall. He went to Dallas. He's one of the guys that lost. They lost Jonas Valanciunas to Washington. They lost Dyson Daniels, Larry Nance, EJ Liddell, and Cody Zeller, all in that same trade, man, for Dejounte Murray. So that's quite a bit of a bench depth that they lost. So what leaves them is the lineup and rotation. So I see the projected starting lineup being Dejounte Murray, of course, being the point guard. Now CJ McCollum slides from the point guard position, which is what he was playing, kind of an unnaturalist position, right? That's not really his position. But now he goes back to his more natural position, and now plays Robin to the Batman, and Dejounte Murray being the Batman on this team. And then now CJ McCollum becomes the Robin at the shooting guard. And then you got small forward Brandon Ingram. Now, it surprised me that Brandon Ingram didn't get traded, man, because he was he was talked about a lot.
There was a lot of noise, but I think the market wasn't there for him.
It's possible, maybe you know, that the Pelicans were asking for a lot for him, and maybe a lot of the GMs out there just said, he's not worth that. He's good, but he's not worth all of what you're asking. Who knows, man? But he stayed on the Pelicans, and, you know, with that three right there, Murray, McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and then you slide in Zion Williamson, that's a pretty formidable four-team lineup right there, right? But then you kind of fill in with the Yves Missi. you know, the guy that they drafted at a Baylor, he slides in at the center. So that's a pretty good starting five, man, you know, if you really look at it. So, but as far as rotation goes, they have, you know, a really good defensive guy in Herbert Jones, all right? He's a very good defensive player. And then you've got Trey Murphy, who's a guy that I think that I thought made Brandon Ingram a little expendable because he emerged as a really, really good player. And Trey Murphy's out of here from the Bay Area, from Stanford, right? Yep. So, you know, those two guys are really, really good. I mean, that's six players right off, you know, right from the start right there that are really, really good. Then you have Jose Alvarado, Grand Theft Alvarado, which is one of the great nicknames out there, man. He's really good, man. I like him. You got to put the Latinos out there, right? Yeah. And then you got the shooting guard.
Bulldog.
You
know, he's a bulldog.
He's a bulldog, man, big time, man. You know, he's a small little guy, but he plays hard, man. So then you got Antonio Reeves as another guy that can come off the bench. So if you look at this team, man, it's pretty deep, man. I mean, even with all those lost, the people that they lost in the offseason, they still have left a pretty good roster, right? So where do I see this guy, where this team? So this team is, like I already mentioned, they are definitely on the rise, but they rise and fall on how Zion Williamson plays, right? I think that having the DeJounte Murray now on the team makes him a little bit more explosive. I think he's a good facilitating point guard. He's not really his biggest strength, but he can do it very, very well. He's just a defensive-minded point guard, and that's just going to feed into what they're already good at, which was surprising that they're one of the top six defensive rated teams in the NBA, and this is going to make them even better. So, you know, and I think Eves Missy, you know, I think is probably more on the likes of like Steven Adams. Steven Adams was kind of like one of these screen setters, does all the dirty work, rebounding, all the things that, you know, most like a Steve Kerr offense, right? That's what they want. They want someone like that does all the dirty work. Jonas Valanciunas was not really, I mean, he could do it, but he's the type of guy who needs the ball in his hands, right? And Eves Missy is not that type of guy. He's more of the like on the mold of Steven Adams. So I think this is going to be a better fit for them. But I see this team probably winning two more games, probably fighting for the seventh or eighth seed, but we'll get to the final predictions. But this is just, you know, blindly giving you my prediction without even kind of looking at the whole Western Conference. I just think that they're probably about two games better than last year. So there you have it, man. Any comments, anything that you want to add into that?
No, just, to your point, they're running about 7 to 8 deep. I do like Jones as defensive minded off the bench. I think overall they're, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram kind of situation there, whether or not there's kind of a midseason trade for something or, you know, something along those lines. They did give up a lot for DeJounte, and I'm sure that with the hopeful trade of Brandon Ingram, they can get some of those bench pieces back, you know, and get a little stronger on the bench. But you know, as I've been watching on the preseason, you know, some of these bench depths, they've come into play. And, you know, if you have a good bench, that's going to matter, especially on some of the older aging teams. But, you know, as we go through the season, we'll talk more and more about that. But, yeah.
I think that the two bench players in Herb Jones, as well as Trey Murphy, I think those are the two guys that I think are very, very attractive for GMs out there, for sure. I think they're probably more tradable than I think Brandon Ingram, because I think Brandon Ingram is just a big contract. And he's good. Right. But, you know, he has injury issues, you know, and, you know, I think those other two guys, you know, like I said, I thought Trey Murphy just played really, really well last year and made Brandon Ingram a little bit more expendable. But I think they just going to move him because of his contract. So we'll see, man. I think these guys are going to be contending for the seventh or eighth seed, you know, like they did last year. But the West is deep, man. I mean, the whole West got better.
The West is insane. But it's wondering, insane. Someone like the LA Lakers, right? Bring Brandon Ingram back. They might have a need for something like that. I don't know if they give up or some team that's on the, you know, playing bubble. Let's put it that way. That might need a piece there. You know, he might be a good fit.
Yeah. Cool, man. All right. So I'm going on to the Utah Jazz, man. All right. So Utah Jazz, they finished 31-51 last season. They were the 12th seed. They missed the play-in. You can see by their offensive rating and their defensive rating, they're last in the league in defense. And that was like, whoa, that was surprised. That surprised me, honestly. I didn't think that they were that bad, but I guess the stats tell you otherwise. Offensive-wise, you know, they're 17th ranked. You know, they have a guy, Lauri Markkanen, that I thought would have been another guy who got moved. But, you know, we all know Danny Ainge, man. He don't play, man. He likes to ask for the Yes, he likes to ask for everything before he makes a trade, and I think that's why they didn't
move him. And given these ratings, I'm wondering if that was a smart play.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you see their net rating, they're almost near the bottom, right? They're 23rd. You know, this team is in rebuild, retool mode right now. So, but as far as transactions in the offseason, they drafted a shooting guard Cody Williams out of Colorado at number 10. They drafted Isaiah Collier out of USC at number 29. They drafted Kyle Filipowski out of Duke at number 32. And this is one of the guys you said, hey, he's not really that bad, man. He's actually pretty good, right?
Yeah, and watching him play, you know, I'm watching, obviously, Zach Edey and the kid from Connecticut. And, you know, I'm watching them, and I'm watching Filipowski, and I'm going, you know, given where they were pulled, I didn't see that big of a difference in the play. Now, that obviously will take mold over the season and how they do with the pros. I'm talking in the summer league where the competition is not as stiff. Maybe when the competition gets a little tougher, then Filipowski is going to, you know, his warts are going to show a little bit better. But in terms of summer league, I thought he did all right. You know, I thought he was.
And that's what you want at a summer league. You want to kind of stand out amongst the fray, right? I mean, and that's goal and job number one if you're a drafted rookie, is to show out as much as you can against a lot of other guys who are trying to show out. And some guys, you know, that are actually returning vets just trying to get on another squad. But if you show out there, it shows the GMs that they made a good pick, and it gives the coaches confidence that they can put you possibly in the rotation. Or if you don't make the team, you can make another team, right? Yeah. So Kyle Filipowski is another guy that they got out of Duke. They did sign Drew Eubanks out of Phoenix to a 2-year deal. They also signed point guard Patty Mills. Man, can you imagine? Patty Mills and Steph Curry have been in the league at the same time, man. Yep. Can you imagine? I mean, their careers have been completely, you know, different, not opposite ends, but Patty Mills is highly touted, man, at St. Mary's when he came out of college, right? Him and Steph Curry were kind of regarded, you know, pretty close at the time.
And those Kawhi teams with Patty Mills on the Spurs, I mean, he was someone with, you know, he had a good reputation. He's a solid player.
He is a solid player. He is.
Yeah, and getting back to Eubanks, as silly as this may sound, for Phoenix to lose Eubanks, that was a little bit of a hit to them. Because, you know, that was a good, solid bench player that they could rely on, you know, and
that was a little bit of a hit. Yeah, but they got Mason Plumlee to fill it back, man.
Yeah.
So that's a good move, right? And Mason Plumlee, I think, is better than Drew Eubanks, but they're similar players. All right. So the other guy that they signed was Svi Mykhailiuk. He was a guy, I think he played for the Lakers. He's played for a lot of different teams, but he got signed to a 4-year deal, surprisingly. They did waive Omar Yurtseven. They also lost Chris Dunn to the Clippers. They waived Russell Westbrook, who now plays for the Denver Nuggets. And then they also lost Talen Horton Tucker to Chicago. All right, so what's left behind as far as their lineup and rotation?
Real quick, Eddie, on Omar Yurtseven, I don't know if you remember, speaking about standing out in the summer league.
Right.
When his rookie year, that dude had, because I think he was drafted by Miami, if I remember correctly, or at least he was playing for the Miami.
Yeah, correct.
In his rookie summer league. And that dude was having a hell of a showing.
Yeah.
In summer league, and then regular league came, and he fell off the face of the planet.
It's just because he's one of these lumbering big guys, right? He's kind of an old school big, right? He's not really, you know, athletic, and that's what you need. You know, that's what the GMs are looking for, is they look for athletic bigs. And, you know, if you're not athletic, you better be dominating down low, right? And this guy wasn't dominating down low, and he's not athletic. So I think that's part of the reason why he just didn't make it, you know, in the NBA. I mean, is he going to play somewhere else? Potentially. I don't know where he went, honestly, but he's a big, and he's a good backup big, and there's value for 6 fouls for someone out there. Right.
Yeah.
But I hear you. You know, he did show out a few times in the summer league a few years ago when he got drafted by that Miami.
Yeah, I want to say it was like 4 or 5 years ago, but
So, all right. So as far as projected starting lineup, so we have point guard Colin Sexton. We have shooting guard Jordan Clarkson. We have small forward Lauri Markkanen. We have power forward John Collins. And then center, I have Walker Kessler. Now, they have changed that around a little bit. They'll put, like, John Collins instead of Walker Kessler at center, and then they'll put this other guy, Taylor Hendricks, you know, in there as a point power forward. But, you know, that's kind of what they do, and mix and match a little bit, just like the Warriors do, right? But as far as that's their starting line, at least what I project. Then they have as a backup, I think they have Isaiah Collier who can come off the bench. Keyonte George coming off the bench to fill in for Jordan Clarkson or Colin Sexton or vice versa. Cody Williams, who's a guy that they drafted out of Colorado. And then I already aforementioned Taylor Hendricks. They're interchangeable. And then you have Kyle Filipowski as the center, right, as a backup center. So, you know, this team, you know, they have some pieces that make them kind of like dangerous, you know, if the team's not really paying attention, which, you know, anybody in the NBA could beat anybody at any night, right?
Yep,
it's not quite like the NFL, but, you know, it can happen, right? You know, the NBA, they're professional players, and sometimes their biorhythms are all on at the same time, and they start just shooting lights out, and everybody plays well together, man. But, you know, this team, I don't see them going too far, honestly. I honestly think that this team is probably trying to get into Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. I think I see them probably, you know, losing maybe 2 to 3 more games, maybe right around the same that they had last year. You know, 31 wins is what, you know, they won last year. So I see them having probably about roughly about the same 28 wins to 31 wins in that range. But, you know, it's a trip, man. 4 years ago, man. 4 years ago, this team had the best record in the NBA. Can you believe that? 4 years ago, when Rudy Gobert was on the team, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. That goes to show you, like, you know, if you lose someone like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, that's, you know, 20% of your team, at least the starting lineup of the team, right? And, you know, Rudy Gobert, there's 40%, right? It's a big hit to your team, man. So it's amazing that this team hasn't really fully recovered from those guys moving on. But they made the change. They wanted to rebuild and retool. This is Danny Ainge doing it. He sees a long-term plan for this thing. But, you know, this team is nowhere close. I think that I smell them kind of being right around the 14th or 15th seed in that range. And I think you and I have predicted roughly about the same. Yeah. So
Isaiah Collier, right. That was their draft pick this year, right? That was
He was drafted along with Cody Williams. He was their second pick. Cody Williams is number 10, and then Isaiah Collier was at number 29.
Yeah, I watched him play in the summer league. I like he was a tough guy, you know, a little bit
Yeah. It's kind of like Baron Davis a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he has kind of a Baron Davis
body.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of strong kid. He's like 220 pounds or something like that. He's a big kid, man. So he could be playing linebacker or running back or something in the NFL. So, all right, man. So that's it for me, man. So now it goes back to you.
All right, back to me. And I have your Brooklyn Nets.
Right on.
Brooklyn Nets had a rough season last year. Ended up with the 11 seed right outside of the bubble, right outside of the play-in games with a record of 32-50. When I look at that record, it just amazes me. I think the Warriors were 10 games over 500, and they were, what, the 9th seed, 10th seed, something like that? And this team has 32 wins, like, you know, like almost 15 to 20 less wins and they were the 11th seed. So I think that's funny.
It just shows you the discrepancy between the East and the West.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's very top heavy. I thought the East was coming up because, you know, the West has been stronger for a long time, and then the East kind of came up for a little bit, and then it looks like things are trending back in terms of the overall records of the teams. However, obviously, the best team in the league is in the East, which is the Boston Celtics at the moment. So, let's see. In terms of roster changes. Let's see. They signed Killian Hayes, point guard, as a free agent. They signed Tyrese Martin, also as a free agent. Amari Bailey, they also signed as a free agent. Yongski Kui, they signed.
Oh man, this is a who's who of the G League, man. I mean, who are these people, man?
Exactly. I don't know who that dude is, but you know, they re-signed Keon Johnson. They traded for Zaire Williams.
Zaire Williams. He played for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, from the Memphis Grizzlies. Yep. They re-signed Trenton Watford, traded for Shake Milton. Shake Milton, he's still in the league. But anyway.
He played for the Sixers, I think. I don't know who he played for last year. Yeah, but most notably for the Sixers.
Correct. Yep. They traded for Bojan Bogdanović. And then they a good re-sign, in my opinion. They re-signed Nicholas Claxton.
Did you say Bogdan or Bojan? It was Bogdan Bogdanović, right?
Bojan Bogdanović.
Oh, Bojan. Oh, yeah. Bojan is the guy, the taller guy. Bogdan is the guy from Atlanta. Bojan. Yep.
And then they also traded for Mamadi Diakite. They traded for him, a power forward.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. In terms of projected starters, for point guard, I got Dennis Schroeder, obviously the kid out of Germany, with Ben Simmons as his backup. Interestingly enough, I don't have Ben Simmons in the starting lineup at all. Just for you Brooklyn fans to know. And probably if you're a real Brooklyn fan, you probably don't want him in your starting lineup either. But for shooting guard, we've got Cameron Thomas. with Bogdanovich backing him up. For small forward, we got Cameron Johnson with Jalen Wilson backing him up. At power forward, we have Dorian Finney-Smith with Noah Clowney backing him up. And then at center, the re-signed Claxton with De'Ron Sharp backing him up. I've got them, you know, probably like a worse team than they were last year, because I think they are a worse team than they were last year. I've got them as the 12th seed, so a seed lower, right around 22 wins, which is about 10 wins less than what they had this.
Well, dude, when you named off the first four or five transactions they made, and I'm like, what? Who are these guys? Yeah, man. I don't see these. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, these guys are definitely in rebuild and trying to get as many draft picks as they can, because they lost so many draft picks from all the transactions they did over the years with the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden, right? They lost a lot of their draft capital.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about that a little bit here. You know, I call it the build my own team wave, right? So you get a player that wants to bring his people on, and then how that impacts. You know, we saw it in Houston, right? When Houston did all of that with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and exactly. And so what happened? They went away, and the team had to like really rebuild. We saw it in Brooklyn. I think we're going to see it. Phoenix, I've got them in the upper half this year, but I think they're going to feel the hit of the things that they're doing. They're going to feel it in the next couple of years. And I think the Clippers are another team where you're going to feel the hit of what they've done. And, you know, it's like you go all in, and if you don't win it all, man, you're back to the Stone Age, you know, and that's basically where Brooklyn is. They're back in the Stone Age, man.
Oh, big time, man. This team is hurting, man. They're hurting. They might be one of those teams that maybe many years ago, remember when we were like maybe 30 years ago when Larry Johnson, UNLV, you know, running Rebs were like considered like one of the top teams in the NCAA. And there was arguments that they could beat the worst team in the NBA. That argument might hold true here, man. You never know, right? I mean, can we put UConn against these guys? I mean, these guys are the best of the best out of college. I'm just, you know, they'll probably Brooklyn would school these guys. It's just fun to say that, just because, man, it's like, man, these guys are just, they have a lot of like guys, and they have a lot of guys with just no star power, man. It's just their fault. They had to rebuild from what they tried to do, right?
Correct. I mean, you know, with Kyrie Irving and Harden and Durant. It left a meteor like hole in the organization. Big time crater. And galactic crater. And as you can see here from kind of their net ratings, they're in the lower half, but you know, they weren't like
the worst.
They weren't the worst. You know, they were 20th in defensive rating, which is, you know, in the lower third, but you know, top of the lower third. They were 22nd overall, and you know, and again, some of that might be the benefit of playing in the East, and you play those Eastern teams a little more than you do the Western teams. But overall, their net rating wasn't horrible, you know, compared to some of the other ratings that we've seen. Anything else here, Ed, on the Brooklyn Nets?
No, man, this team is, I see them being at least 5 years out from even sniffing the playoffs, man, unless there's some big trade that happens that lands them someone that's of note, right? And that's, I mean, Brooklyn's a big market, right? I mean, they're not quite New York. They're kind of like New York light. You know, when they first, you know, kind of moved from New Jersey to Brooklyn, they made a big splash, right? With the Jay-Z buying the team and trying to be, you know, this new, you know, and they had this great arena with the spotlight lighting and so forth. And, you know, it helped getting, you know, the big three over there that unfortunately didn't play more than like maybe 10 games together. But they need to get some big, they have to get like a Cooper flag and a few other players.
If they win that sweepstake, then maybe we're talking.
And maybe. That. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But so. we'll, to be determined.
Exactly. All right, man. So I think we're moving on to your Boston Celtics.
My Boston Celtics, the big boys. All right. The Boston Celtics, as we know, last year won the whole NBA final. They were a first seed of 64-18. And even with that record, I swear there were games that they just took off and didn't want to
play.
I think they could have had 3 to 5 more wins.
Easily.
In that record. But, you know, they're 64-18. Like I said, they won the NBA Finals. You know, they didn't really have a lot of room to make a lot of changes. But you know, they picked up some different players here. At shooting guard, they pick up Jay Scrubb as a free agent. Dimitro Skapinestif, a center. They picked him up as a free agent. They picked up Tristan Unaruna from a training training.
Who are these guys?
Exactly. I don't know. Now, here's an interesting name, and maybe you know, Eddie. I don't know. They picked up a Ron Harper Jr. Is that Ron Harper's kid?
Yeah, I think it is.
It is. Okay. They picked him up to a training camp contract. Okay. So at least he's there for training camp.
He's undrafted, if I remember. Yeah, he wasn't drafted. Yep.
Yep.
I forgot where he played,
too. They picked up Lonnie Walker as a free agent. So there's a name. Anton Watson, they picked up on a two-way contract. Sam Hauser, they re-signed him. J.D. Davidson, they signed him to a two-way contract. And obviously some key re-signs. Yep. Derek White.
Yep.
J.D. Davidson.
Yeah, I said don't call me Pete Davidson, but yeah. Anyway,
yeah, exactly. Don't call me Pete. Exactly. Yes. And then they did a couple of re-signs here. They re-signed Derek White to a veteran extension. Very smart move. They also re-signed Jason Tatum, which is a very good move. So those two guys are locked in. I believe both of those are 4 to 5 year extensions, or at least an extension to four or five more seasons from today. And then they did pick up the draft pick, Baylor Scheimann. They picked him up and signed him. And then re-signed Nemes Queta and Drew Peterson. Both of them are re-signed accordingly. And then Xavier Tillman and Luke Cornette.
And he was on the team last year.
They both re-signed those two players as well.
Yep.
So again, nothing too splashy other than re-signing their own players. I think the key for Boston, in my opinion, here is how long can you keep this unit together, right? I don't want to say concerns, but some things that I would pay attention to, and that is Al Horford's a year older, right?
Yeah.
So that's something you got to keep an eye on. And Kristaps Porzingis continues to get hurt.
It hurts. Yeah, he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, so those are two things that, you know, could derail another championship. I say that kind of rolling my eyes because they're such a deep team and they have so many players. But you know, that is something that definitely could happen. I mean, obviously, Kristaps Porzingis was hurt for a bulk of the playoffs last year, and they just chucked along as, you know, at a normal rate anyway. So all right, projected starting fives. Obviously, the starter, the steal of the century, if you talk to me and Eddie, have heard me and Eddie at any time, is Jrue Holiday.
Hall of Famer, man.
He got the steal of the century last season, man. Yeah, I mean, I love Lillard. You know, he's from Oakland, and I love all that. But man, that was a steal. That whole swap around.
Real quick, I want to interject something. So
yeah.
You know, I'm on this chat with, you know, a bunch of buddies that were all basketball junkies, right? And JJ's one. He's on that, right? And there's a few other guys that are on there that are all basketball junkies. And a few of them played at UCLA, right?
Yep.
And a question I threw out there, this was like maybe four or five years ago. And I said, okay, who is the best player in the NBA from UCLA? And they did not pick Jrue Holiday.
At that time?
At that time, okay?
Okay.
They did not pick Jrue Holiday. You know, actually, one of them picked Norman Powell. Wow. Another one picked Lonzo Ball. I picked Jrue Holiday, man.
You better remind him of that.
Dude, I should have been a scout, man. Honestly, I missed my calling, man. I see things, man, you know? And saw Jrue Holiday.
That's a good call. And I mean, that dude, you know, the thing about Jrue is like, he's not flashy. He's not, you know, he's just there, continuous, you know, kind of chipping at it. And so, like I said, steal of the century, in my opinion, at least for the Boston Celtics.
For sure.
You know, him and Derek White, I think, are two of the keys that got him over the hump to win that championship. I think those two guys, which, by the way, Derek White starting at shooting guard with Jaylen Brown backing him up, obviously. And then at the small forward, Jaylen Brown starting there with Lonnie Walker backing him up. Jason Tatum at the power forward with Sam Hauser backing him up. And then Kristaps Porzingis, I don't know what his injury. I mean, I think he's still hurt a little.
Dude, he's always hurt, man. I think he's still growing. His growth plates keep growing. I don't know what it is, or they keep stretching him out. I don't know what it is, man.
He's just big and thin, you know, in a somewhat physical sport. And then with Al Horford and so the combination of Al Horford and Luke Cornette backing Porzingis up. Now I think that if if Porzingis is out, I think Horford would start and Kornet as the backup until Porzingis comes back. But and then I've got the pretty much I got them a little less a lower record than last year. Last year they won 64 games. I've got them still at the number one seed in the East, but I've got them right around 61, 62 games.
That's a good call, actually. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Because as you noted, they took a lot of games off. They're going to even be more like that now, man.
Correct.
You know, they won the championship. You know, yeah. and they know the regular season doesn't really matter that much. They're just going to turn it on in the postseason. They just want to get the number one seed, and they just won't fight really hard to get there.
Exactly. They're a more experienced team now. They've got that monkey off their back, you know, in terms of jitters in the NBA finals and whatnot. So, you know, I agree with you. I think they'll take they'll be more worried about conserving their energy for the postseason now than they were about, you know, kind of showing out for, you know.
Yeah, you know, if I were the coach here, I would go ahead and tell these guys, okay, look at your offensive rating. Look at your defensive rating. I want you to stay at number one on offense, and I want you to get to number one on the defensive rating. Yep. That would be my goal, right? That's what I would tell my team. Forget the wins and losses. I want you to focus on being better defensive player, the better defensive team than last year, period, right? Our offense is going to be there. And that net rating is ridiculous.
If they stay anywhere in the 11 range, anywhere, you
it's
know,
crazy.
Forget it. That's just...
Dude, and we all know, we already talked about this with the Team USA. We don't know what happened with Jason Tatum here. His mentals might be a little thrashed. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's one of these guys that just, it's like water off his back, like a duck. It's like water off a duck's back. I think he just, whatever, right? Yeah, I didn't get to play because I don't have the seniority over some of these, you know, guys. But, you know, some guys, it could really affect them, right? But if this guy comes out playing like a beast, it's over, man. Like, and we noted this. So, you know, and he's played really well in the preseason already, man. He's been showing out like he normally does. So far it hasn't affected him, you know, not playing on Team USA like he probably
should. I've said this in the past. So if there's any quote unquote superstar this would affect, Tatum is one that I would be concerned about because he does seem to let this kind of stuff impact him.
He does seem like he's a little bit more of an emotional creature. You can see it. Yeah. He's a little bit more of a sensitive kid. You can see it. You know, you can tell with certain people. But, you know, he could have been, he's one of those types that doesn't take it that bad and just kind of lets it slide. You know, he's just kind of one of these, you know, kind of go with the flow kind of guys. You just never know, man. We'll see. We shall see this season, right?
We shall see. This is going to be an interesting season for the Celtics, but they're the favorites as they should be. And they should run the East easily. I mean, they should be the number one seed. Relatively easily, obviously barring any major injuries or things of that nature. But given their current lineup, they're good to go.
Especially with that backcourt. Who do you think is their biggest threat? Do you think it's the Knicks? Do you think it's the Sixers? Do you think it's the Pacers? Do you think it's the Heat?
I think it's the Knicks. The Heat is a dark horse. You know, the Heat's got some of their own issues. But I think that if they get into a playoff series, I think – the Heat are savvy enough to get in their heads and affect them a little bit. That's the one team in the East that I would say could beat them. Just even though Boston's more talented, Miami could figure out a way to.
They're just very disciplined team.
Correct.
Miami's very disciplined.
Yeah, I think the Knicks. I think the Knicks have a good. I think they're their biggest threat. Their biggest threat on both fronts. You know, both on talent and you know, the team chemistry. I think that they're the biggest threat. Indiana, you know, I'm a little concerned. They're kind of one and done in terms of, the impact they had this season. You know, I would, if the playoffs started today, I think they're more likely to lose in the first or, you know, early rounds than they were this coming season. I got to see how their defense comes up.
Yeah, they're all about their defense. I think they're like 24th ranked, I think, in defense.
Yeah, they got to improve that defense. If they don't improve that defense, then it's going to be really hard to just win an offensive skill set alone. And they have a lot of it. But, you know how that is. Offense, when you're traveling, it changes. When you have rookies, it changes.
Defense travels, man.
But defense travels no matter what. So, I'm going to keep an eye on their overall defensive rating throughout the season. And if that stays, you know, I'd say in the top 15 or better, then yes, they can be dangerous. But if it's ranging where it is now, 25 or lower, I think they're not going to have a good season. you know, in terms of postseason. I think they'll make the postseason. I think after that they'll be greatly dispatched.
Yeah. Right. And real quick, just want to go ahead and remind everybody, the folks that are listening, if you want to go ahead and post any comments, any questions, please feel free. If your platform allows that, we're here for live for a reason, so we can hear from you. So, all right, go ahead, Tuan.
All right. That was it.
That's it. All right. So then I go down to the last team that we're covering before we go into our little contest here. Yes. All right. So we have the Washington Wizards. All right. So the Washington Wizards finished 15-67. Woo, man, that's a horrible record. The 14th seed. Can you believe with that record they weren't the 15th seed? Anyway, all right. So their offensive rating was 25th. All right. Their defensive rating was 27th. Their net rating was 28th. Again, being 15-67, you're surprised when you're seeing them not being 30-30-30 all the way across, right? The triple crown of like weakness.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, they have a few players. We will go through those transactions. So the first thing that they did is they drafted power forward / center Alex Sarr with the number 2 pick. They also received Kyshawn George in a trade with the Knicks at number 24. And then they also, there was a big trade on draft day where they received Malcolm Brogdon and Carlton Bubb Carrington. They did that in a trade. And then they sent Denny Avdija to the Blazers in order to get that, right? They also signed free agent center Jonas Valanciunas from the Pelicans. They also signed Sadiq Bey from the, I believe he played for the Hawks last. It could have been the Hawks. Yeah, I think it's the Hawks. So, and then Tyus Jones, they got, that's who they gained. The guys that they lost are Denny Avdija. He lost them to the Blazers in that Malcolm Brogdon deal. And then they lost Tyus Jones to the Suns. And then they waived Landry Shamet. All right, so
Danny Avdija, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on him because they drafted him, I want to say, 3 seasons ago. He's the kid from Israel, right? The Israeli kid?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, he was highly touted coming out of the league. I think he was playing in a pro league where they drafted him out of over there in Israel. I'm going to keep an eye on him because I thought, you know, playing on a team with Jordan Poole and the other star on that team or quote-unquote?
Oh, Kyle Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma, yeah, playing with those guys, that's a little tough to shine or try to shine, you know. I know at least Poole can be a little ball happy, a little ball hog, you know, things of that nature. So that may prove to be a mistake, trading that guy, is what I'm going to say.
You know, I agree with you. I thought he was a good fit for the team. But he's a tradable asset, and they got some picks, and they got some youth, right? So anyway, let's go. We'll go to the starting lineup. I have them with Malcolm Brogdon, the newly acquired Malcolm Brogdon being their point guard. Then we have their shooting guard, former Warrior Jordan Poole. Then we have their small forward, Kyle Kuzma. Then we also have their newly drafted power forward / center in Alex Sarr. And then they have center Jonas Valanciunas. You look at that right there. It's not a bad team, man. It's not like, whoa, God. It's actually not like, whoa, it's kind of respectable, right? Their rotation, you have point guard Carlton Bud Carrington backing up Malcolm Brogdon. Then you have a small forward, Corey Kispert, probably backing up Kyle Kuzma. Then you have shooting guard Bilal Coulibaly backing up Jordan Poole, who's more of a defensive-minded guy than Jordan Poole is. You have also another former Warrior, Patrick Baldwin. He also went there, right? And then you have Kyshawn George, the newly acquired Kyshawn George from the Knicks. Okay. And then they have Rishawn Holmes, the guy he's still in the league, man. That guy's been playing for a long time, man. But you know, this team is, you know, as far as projection, man, this team is retooling. They're not necessarily full rebuild mode, but they're retooling. I think, you know, adding a Brogdon, he's a good player, man. Valanciunas, he's a respectable player. We shall see with Alex Sarr, right? He, like we talked about in previous podcasts, this guy was projected to be probably the one player in this whole draft that had star power. I just didn't see it in the summer league. But hey, you know, some guys can just have an off week, right? And we'll see. I just don't see the motor with this kid, but hopefully he gets it. And then, you know, I see them probably winning maybe 4 to 5 more games. That's max, right? So that's going to put them right around the 19-20 place. You know, if this team continues like to do like what I think they're going to do, you know, they have some pieces there that I think are very tradable. And if this guy, they already kind of show that they're in the process of doing a rebuild, not a full rebuild, but a retooling. And I think that's trying to keep the fans, you know, engaged that they're doing something, not completely tanking. But if they're kind of on that same trajectory where they're just kind of just losing and losing and losing and kind of getting near the bottom, which is likely to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, a Jordan Poole gets traded. I wouldn't be surprised if a Kyle Kuzma gets traded, right? Those two guys in particular, Corey Kispert could be traded, right? All of these guys are guys that could be very attractive for a team that's vying for, you know, playoff positioning. So that's what I say, man. So yeah, well,
I know towards the end of the year last season, Jordan Poole got relegated to the bench. He wasn't even a starter anymore. And so I think that they're going to go as Jordan Poole goes. Is really the way that I feel.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because I think the other players are more consistent, right? I think Kuzma can, you know, he's a consistent scorer. You know, I think all of these other players, they're a little more consistent. Jordan Poole has been the volatile one in this equation. And if he can get somewhere around, you know, let's say 15 to 18 points a game, you know, maybe 4 assists, somewhere in that range, you know, have right. just a solid season, then I think this team could get to the 4 or 5, maybe even 6 or 7 more wins than you had predicted. I think that they'll be better off. But I think that if Jordan Poole has been what he's been the last season, they're going to have a problem with that because, yeah, they could trade him, but no one's going to want him. Or not at least not for
– not the price.
They're going to give him a bag of chips for him, you know. But, you know, and even then I'd be a little suspect because, you know, me being kind of this kind of guy, I'm looking at, you know, Klay Thompson, I'm looking at Jordan Poole. They're not looking the same outside of the Warriors system as they looked within the Warriors system. So then maybe you've got somewhat of a trend here, you know, if that kind of thing is existing. So just something to look at. But I think they go the way Jordan Poole goes.
Right, man. All right, man. So there you have it. That's our coverage for all 30 NBA teams. We did this over the course of the last 4 weeks. In preparation for the upcoming season starting on the 22nd, which is next Tuesday. There are 2 games on the slate. And let me see, I think the teams that were playing were the Knicks versus the Celtics and then the Wolves versus the Lakers. So now we're going into our projection part of the show. I don't know if you can probably make that a little bit bigger there, Twan.
I can make it really big. I just...
Yeah. It's probably a little bit better? More. A little more. You can probably hide the little things up there at the top, you know, there's the little ribbon for Excel. You can hide that to make the screen bigger.
Yeah. Now you're going to tell me to hide stuff.
There you go. And then you can make it a little bit bigger.
All right. A little bit bigger.
Because they can't see. Keep going. That's good right there. All right. Yeah. That's good. I'll scroll. All right, man. So here's a little thing. You know, Twan and I, we always compete on things, you know, we always do.
Let's be clear, Eddie.
Yeah,
you always compete, and yeah, I play along.
You're right. I'm an ultra competitive mofo, man. So yeah. And right now you've got me. Right now you got me 2-0 right now. So this is my time to try and get something back.
Here we go, Eddie. Going to kick all right. up on all season long.
So what I want the audience to see here is that we have 3 tables here, okay? The one on the far left is the podcast rankings. Now, this is what we have been, you know, what we covered in the last 4 weeks, all right? We went through each team, and we kind of projected how we thought each of these teams were going to finish. And this is what they ended up being, okay? So what you see here is the podcast rankings. You see the Thunder is number one. We put that for sure. The Wolves number two, Mavs all the way down to the Blazers. This is what we said on the podcast. And just to be clear, when we did these coverages, we didn't necessarily look at the entire conference and then kind of analyze it, right? We just kind of covered each team, you know, independently without even taking that into consideration, right? Yep. But this is the end result when we go back and reviewed all of the team previews that we did for the last 4 weeks, and this is how we ended up. Okay, now the one in the middle is Twan's ranking, and this is kind of what we did after the fact. We didn't necessarily review what we did in the podcast. This is kind of independent of the podcast. We did this collectively, just looking at all teams, and then based on what we've already talked about and what we came up with. All right, now Twan's is in the middle, mine's on the far right. So what I can tell you here is, okay, first of all, we're going to have a little contest here. And the point system here is if you get the seed correct, you're going to get 5 points. If you're one off in either direction, if you're off one seed in either direction, that's going to be worth 3 points. And if you get, if you're two off from any seed, then you're going to be, you're going to get 2 points for that, right? So it's 5, 3, and 2 as far as the point system. And if you have, if you're worse than two on any seed, then you get 0 points, right? Yep. Okay. So if we look at collectively, you know, the overall rankings of all of these, if we look at all the picks in common, okay, you and I, we picked the Thunder, the Wolves, the Rockets, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Jazz, the Blazers, exactly where they, you know, where we thought they would end up. Okay. Correct. All right. So that's seven teams in common in the West. Correct. On the East, we picked 8 teams in common, you know, exactly the same. We picked the Celtics, the Knicks, the Sixers, exactly where they're going to be seated. Then we had the Hawks, the Bulls, the Raptors, the Pistons, and the Wizards, exactly where they're going to be seated, right? Yep. So there's going to be some room there for points between us, right?
Yep, there will be.
Then if you look at, like, if you compare our rankings to the how we rank them throughout the podcast, right? This is before even doing the full analysis of the overall conferences, right? This is just on a team-by-team basis, right? What how it came about is, for you, there were 8 teams that were exactly how we predicted in the podcast, okay? Correct. You had predicted the Thunder, the Wolves, the Mavs, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Jazz, and the Blazers in the places where you have them. And this is exactly where how we had them in the podcast for the West.
Yep.
And then on the East, you had, you know, a total of 10 teams that were exactly the same as we how we covered in the podcast. Yep. So, you know, so and if you look at mine, it's 8 teams to 11 teams. So there's going to there's a lot of differences between us, man. And you know,
yeah.
So if you look, and you know, I got to be the homer of the group here, bro. All right, you had the Warriors at number 8. I have them at number 7. Have you seen this team play in the preseason, man? Their defense is looking really good, man.
I can't disagree with you, Eddie. I agree with you, but
yeah, I hear you. I hear you. We're homers. I get it.
This is also before Draymond gets suspended. And
yeah, but he's not going to get suspended. he's not going to get suspended. He'll get suspended. But it won't be more than like 5 games. That's it.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see how many technical fouls in game 1 there are.
But another, some of the big differences between us, okay? You have the Mavs at number 3. And this is what I was telling you about. I was really in between the Mavs and the Suns at number 3. You know, I just think, as I pointed out in the in the team preview about the Suns, only 25 games were played by the big 3 the entire season, right? And I think Bradley Beal coming off the bench, I think is going to make that team roll, man. I just think this team is good. Another year under the belt, all playing together. I think they're just going to be hungry to prove everybody wrong. So that's why I'm at number 3.
What I see is a team that's really light on the bench, and players are going to get tired towards the end of the season, right? You're going to have to be playing a lot of Durant, a lot of Beal, right? A lot of, what can I put his name?
Durant? Booker.
Jesus. The point guard that played point guard last season and the
Booker.
Thank you. Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Booker.
Don't get old, Eddie. You know, he's younger, so the minutes aren't going to matter as much to him, which is why I have them. So you have the Suns higher than both the Mavs.
I have them at number 3. You have them at number 5.
I have both the Mavs and the Nuggets better than the Suns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's where I think, you know, a lot of the differences are going to be made in our scoring here. The one other one that I have here, I have two differences from you on the Kings. You have them at number 6. I have them at number 8. Okay.
Correct.
Another one, I have the Clippers at number 9. You have them at number 12.
Correct.
It's a big, and then the other one is Grizzlies. You have them at number 9. I have them at number 12.
Correct.
Right. So that's, these are big differences right now. This is going to be interesting to see how we end up at the end of the season. Right. And I'll keep score of this.
I think a full season of Ja Morant, the Grizzlies are going to be a completely different team.
If you look at the odds makers, they have these guys as the team that's more than likely going to win people a lot of money because of what you just said. You know, they're slated to win, I think, 46, 47 games in that range. It's like, what? Yeah. Oh my God. No way. I don't see it. But, you know, they had a lot of injuries. They did have a lot of injuries last year, you know. But
and
we shall
picked up Zach Edey, which I think I put there that I think he's going to start. Not that he should matter a lot, but, you know, they're going to have a scoring center. That puts Triple J maybe more at his more natural 4 position. So it kind of settles everything. So that's why I had the Grizzlies a little bit higher. I had the Clippers lower just because, you know, I'm predicting that Kawhi is going to miss, you know, a higher than normal amount of games. And in those games last season, Paul George really saved their bacon in a lot of those games. And without Paul George, I don't know. You know, Westbrook is gone. Harden, I guess, in theory, could do something. I just think the impact of losing Paul George on that team is going to be significant.
Now, they're forced to play Norman Powell now to start him. You know, they have.
Yeah, but if Kawhi is healthy all season, then
they're a problem, man.
Four or five spots, easy.
They're a problem with Kawhi. Yeah. With Kawhi Leonard's playing all the time, right? So,
yep.
But anyway, so if we go to the East, okay, we talked about the West. If we look at the East, the big difference, okay, we have two differences. You have the Cavs at number four, okay? Yes. I have them at number seven.
Yes.
Right? That's a big difference.
That is a big
difference. You have the Magic at number six.
I have
them at number eight.
Correct.
All right. Bucks, you have them at number five. I have them at number four. And then the Heat is another one where it's a big difference. You have them at number eight. I have them at number six. Yeah. All right. This is where the points are going to be made, right here in the middle, man. Three to seven to eight for both conferences is where we're going to make our points up, man. The latter part of each part of the conferences, you know, from like 10 to 15, those are pretty easy, right? And we only had like maybe one or two differences complete. You had the Hornets and Nets different places. I had them swapped the other way around than what you had. I have the Grizzlies lower. You have them higher. That's going to be the big. That's going to be the big.
And you know, a lot of those positions, because you know, when we look, if we look at records, which we didn't include here. We had a lot of teams with the same record. So a lot of this is going to come up to down to face-to-face
competition,
right?
The tiebreakers.
Who won the most games against each other, right? So, yeah, the tiebreakers.
Right, exactly. You know, we for those of you listening to this, we definitely would invite you to go ahead and post up how you think that they're going to finish. I actually was trying to talk to our producers about coming up with some kind of contest to be able to award the guy who actually beat us, right? There's probably many people that are beat us, but the thing is, you'd have to post everything by Monday before the games start on Tuesday.
So
that would be the thing. But please go ahead and put your teams up there. Put the seedings for both the West and the East in the comment section if your platform allows that. But have them up by Monday for us to be able to kind of see how well you do. Now, like I said, we're going to try and talk to our producers about maybe doing some kind of contest where we can give away something. But you know, we're still working through that, so I can't really tell you exactly yet.
And if you want to score a lot of points there, users or, you know, viewers out there, look at the Spurs. The Spurs could very easily upset a lot of this apple cart. Chris Paul has been known to bring the skill level of a team up significantly. And for those that haven't been watching Wemby in the preseason, that dude, he's taking it up a level.
Did you hear the comment? I don't know if you caught it, but I don't know what show I was watching. It might have been First Take, ESPN. It might have been even just a game I was watching. But it might have been the Wear game that they were talking about. That Victor Wembanyama, when they pulled all the GMs, they said that if they were to pick any player in the NBA to start a franchise with, he's the guy. He's the guy. They also picked him to be the defensive player of the year next year.
Yep.
Already in year two, right? Yeah. So and you know, I forgot who was talking about it. It might have been Greg Anthony on the inside the NBA, but the NBA channel where they kind of have commentary. He's like, you know, he's must see TV because you don't see guys playing like this guy at 7'4", being able to handle the ball, what he does, be able to pass the way he does, to play defense the way he does. And the thing is, this guy wants to be great, right? He wants to be great.
I was watching a play where he gets the rebound, brings the ball up, and pulls up a three and just
And he can dribble too, man.
This dude is freaking 7'4".
Yes, just
coming down, throwing up a three. Thank you.
And 8'1" wingspan.
Yeah,
8'1" wingspan. No, yeah, that's incredible. And you know, hey, check this out.
Speaking of wingspan, what is it? D'Anthony Melton.
I was just about to bring that up.
He's 6'3" and has a 7'3" wingspan.
Isn't that crazy, dude?
That's insane. He's like what? That's insane. Like, he's a foot taller with his wingspan than he is in his height.
Dude, man, he's like Lurch, man. From the remember the Adams Family Lurch, Durang, you know that guy.
Exactly.
He got long ass arms, dude. I mean, his knuckles are dragging down the.
That is, exactly, bro. Like that is so insane.
That's insane, man. But that's that explains why he's so good defensively, man.
Correct.
And he didn't
that's why he plays. You know, they that's the same thing with Draymond. I know Draymond has like you know a six or long seven arms inch too. Longer yeah. wingspan than he is tall wise, and that's what makes good defensive players because you think. You got them, and then they stick their arm up, and they're like SWAT. And you're like, "Where did this guy come from? I didn't even see his hand. All I saw was an arm."
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, but there you have it, guys. This is our contest for ourselves between us. But we definitely like you guys to participate. So, if you're listening to this podcast and you actually have the time to go ahead and enter into your platform in the comment section, your rankings. We're going to go ahead and keep track of all this stuff at the end of the season, which is 7 months down the line. And like I said, we're going to try and talk to our producers about doing some kind of a contest for those who actually outscore us. All right. But anyway. All right. So that pretty much that seals it for us, man. We actually covered the last six teams of our NBA preseason ranking team previews. We cover the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Jazz, the Nets, the Celtics, the Wizards. Then we went ahead and had our little contest here between us about how we think each of the conferences are going to end up in terms of seeding. And we have a little contest where you're going to get 5 points. We get exactly the right seeding. And then you get 3 points if you're only one off, and then 2 points if you're two off. And then after that, no more points, right? But anyway, so we're going to find out how we do. But this was a fun show, man. We actually did it a little bit over an hour.
And next week, we'll have already watched the season.
We'll have already watched a game or two,
so we can actually get into the real deal now.
Exactly. We're going to be covering, main highlights of every game, not necessarily all the games. You know, we don't want to drag this out, but we're going to do some commentary on that for next week because the season is here, man. It starts next Tuesday. And you know what that means for me, man? FanDuel, baby. Every day. Doing a lineup. I did a lineup tonight. Yeah. I won some money. Thank you very much.
For you, long time NBA fans. I know I get a little cornball here, but show love for TNT, man, because this is their last season. I'm sure they'll talk about it. But for those of you that watch NBA basketball and don't necessarily watch it on TNT, do yourselves a favor, watch some TNT games because that's a fun time. So
absolutely, man, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, everyone. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. We are Buzzer Beaters. We were brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Google, X. No Napster, bro. All right?
That's LimeWire, right? Morpheus.
Pandora, wherever other you can find your outlets. X. You can find us pretty much wherever you can find your outlet.
My Theo's old radio station.
All right. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, again, this is Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are signing off.